I feel a great joy to be with you tonight. My voice is weak because I've had a cold and I'm just about over it, but I'm not over all the effects of it. I desire an interest in your prayers at whatever time I stand, that I might give Jesus Christ all the praise and all the glory. For if I do anything else, then I try to steal some of God's glory. And he said that his glory he would not give to another. I've thought about many verses and thought about many more, but I want to go back and maybe some touch upon some of the things. I hope that what I say will be in line with some of the things I've heard here. I'm greatly concerned about Zion. I say that because in the last 5 years or the last 10 years, I was with the Progressive at one time, so if I tell you something, I want you to know who I'm coming from. I made that mistake. Matter of fact, something I told Brother Luke on the way over here, the first time I ever got in the stand was actually at where my grandparents are buried, at that church. I seen a division in that country, which Brother Luke would have been on one side and I would be on the other. I'm no longer in Mississippi, but it was very bitter and very deep. My mother was on one side and her grandparents was on the other side. I'm telling you, division hurts. Amen. It separates families. Yeah. And I say these things that I want you to, as God's people, finding this place is great joy to me to see the young and the old, men and women. But a church that I used to pastor within 5 miles of where I live now would be in the camps of what you call no help. Now that happened after I left, thank God I wasn't involved in that. But that's where they're at. I can't go there. Within 5 miles of my house. Other churches that I pastor now embrace men that believes in Calvinism. By choice, I don't go there. I don't intend to fellowship that. So when I'm concerned about Zion, some men have said, Brother Randy said you're too worried about this thing. I don't tell you, it's very personal with me. It's come home to me. I don't tell you, if we don't stand upon the walls of Zion and cry loud and spare not, it's going to come home to all of us. I'm telling you, there's things that's being taught that I don't understand. We've been taught that we're under a great commission. God bless you. Now I want you to look at and see what the Bible says. I read something not too long ago. A man said there's those that say that the great commission's been fulfilled. He said we need to go back and study what the old paths are. And he said we don't need to know what father and mother said, but we need to know what the Bible says, what the Scripture says. And I say amen. Let's let the Scripture speak. Amen. Let's let it speak. I'm going to read you first. And you know, I would be concerned about the time, but I'm about as far away from home as any of y'all. And this deacon here told me not to stand over 30 minutes when I got here. I hope I use whatever the time the Lord gives me. And if I don't worry, He'll take care of me when we get home.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. But I want to begin first in Matthew, the 5th chapter. I'll read you some verses here. Won't you listen, beginning with the 17th verse. He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth passes, one jot and one tittle in no wise shall pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whatsoever therefore shall break one of these least of my commandments, and teach other men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So he's clearly teaching that we're to teach what this book teaches. But we'll go back up here to something. Let me read some of this again. He said, "I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Now listen carefully to the 18th verse. He said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth passes, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law." Brethren, did I misunderstand this, or is it not teaching something? It's going to pass away before the law of Moses can be put away. As a Bible scholar, I think this verse gives me, and let me tell you something, this is in the book of Matthew. Now I know some man decided how this book ought to be organized. Now, I understand how it's organized in a special order, like a library, but whoever it was put Matthew first. I find it interesting that in one of the first sermons that's recorded in the New Testament, Jesus tells us that heaven and earth is going to pass away. I tell you, as a Bible scholar, I have a reasonable expectation to be able to find the passing away of this heaven and this earth, whatever he's talking about.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I think that's a reasonable expectation. Now, as I began to look at that, I listened to these verses, what John the Revelator said. In the 21st chapter, the book of Revelation, he says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea." Now here he's talking about a passing away of the heaven and earth. Now listen to the next verse. He says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." If this isn't the New Testament church, I'm clueless as to what it is.
Amen.
Now I want to read a few more verses. Some men says this is something to do with heaven. I want to tell you what's in this city. "And the walls of the city..." Wait. And in verse 12 he says, "And had a great wall and high and 12 gates, and at that gate 12 angels, and the name written there, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel." Now do you believe that when we get to heaven that there's going to be 12 gates and the tribes of Israel is going to be written on the name of them 12 gates? You're telling me the Reuben, the one that Jacob said he was unstable as water, his name is going to be written on one of the gates in heaven? You know who's in the foundation of this city? The 12 apostles. What he says on down in heaven. He says, "And the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and in them was the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." You're telling me that heaven's going to have a foundation and we're going to walk on the names of the 12 apostles? I won't tell you. That's not my vision of heaven and the mode of glory. I believe when we get to that place of hope, I won't tell you, there's not going to be no big eyes or little U's. The Apostle Peter is not going to be elevated any higher than any minister or any other child of God in this building. You got to use a little common sense when you study the Word of God. Now, if there was a passing way of a heaven and earth, how many heavens do we know about? Paul said he was in which heaven? The third heaven. So, I believe that was heaven that I hope to see, because he said there was things written there that was unlawful for men to utter. And something couldn't utter it. They said, whether in the body, out of the body, I could not tell. Well, I find where one heaven and where the was destroyed by war.
Yeah. That's
two heavens. And I'm telling you that there was a Jewish dispensation. And that was a heavenly place. Just like we hope to sit together, heavenly place. I'm telling you, there was a heaven there that had to be put away. The Bible said it would be folded up and put away. And I'm going to tell you, as certain events had to come about and come to pass for this to happen. And if God had a plan, it wasn't an accident. Now let me tell you something. The nation of Israel, was they not God's firstborn?
Amen. Amen.
God told Pharaoh, says, told Moses, said, you go tell Pharaoh to let Israel, my firstborn, go. If that's so, and the Bible says it is, therefore I believe it. And confirmed it by the Scriptures. I tell you that Israel had certain legal rights. Now we got to go to the law. There was a legal issue here. I don't care how you want to run Jacob and Esau. I fully believe that that teaches election and about the family of God. And I believe God hated Esau, and I believe He loved Jacob.
Amen. 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 You got it.
But, he used Esau in another way. Paul 1 warned the nation of Israel not to sell their birthright as Esau did. Not to be a fornicator and sell their birthright as Esau did. And they did. They had to. If they hadn't, we would have never got it. I'm going to tell you, as a legal issue, everything that happened according to a plan that was put in motion before the world began. Somebody preached on us being chosen. I like that about Israel being chosen. I mean, the Gentile being chosen. I like that. I believe it's right. I'm telling you, God made choices and God providentially dealt with His people. And I want to tell you, there came a time that the nation of Israel came under the wrath of God because they had disobeyed a contract that they made with God.
That's right. Amen.
A contract.
That's right.
You understand what a contract is? Everybody that agrees to a contract is binding upon. Legally binding upon. God said, listen, it's like this. You'll keep my law. He says, I'll bless you so much that I'll never even withhold the rain from your crops. Contract, legally binding. You know what Jesus called these people? He says, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Why did He call them hypocrites? Because they had took the law of Moses and so perverted it that it no longer even represented the law of God.
Right.
In the Old Testament, in Jeremiah, in the 50th chapter, it says this, the 6th verse. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have turned them, have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Let me begin to, real briefly, take you through a scenario. And there's two or three varying opinions on some of this, but I'm going to give you a basic scenario, and I guarantee you, it'll fit. Now, let me tell you something. At your church tonight, I want every one of y'all to take any dollar bill you got, whether it's one, five, whatever. I want you to hold it up to the light. And on the right-hand side of it, you'll see the face imprinted in that bill of whoever's face is in the center of it. It'll be like a ghost face in there. Now, just because you've never seen that doesn't mean it's not there. The Bible speaks to some that study these things daily to see if they'd be so or not. Now, I'm telling you, just because you may have never seen this doesn't mean it's so or not. But I'm telling you where I'm going so that you can go check up on me to see if these things be so or not. Now, you check up on me on that dollar bill. I want you to show it to your children. It's one way you can tell if a dollar bill is counterfeit. If you don't get nothing else out of what I say tonight. Now, God, in three different chapters, His last sermon is like on Monday. Okay? On Monday before His last supper. And you can go check it up, because they'll say something like this after, in 2 days of the Passover supper. Okay? In this sermon, He tells them, and because time's sake, I'm not going to go read it, but you can go check it. He uses some language. One of them, He says, this gospel must be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. Now, I want to tell you something. Well, the gospel is preached in all the world. The end of the world is going to come, people. Jesus said so. Jesus said something else when I love it. Right close to it. He that is nearest to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something. They come back to the end of the world, the apostles didn't make it. They ain't none of them still alive. They didn't endure to the end. But I'm telling you, John the Revelator endured to the end. The apostle John was the only apostle that we know of that died a natural death. He's the one that said, I, John, saw a new heaven and new earth. He saw all these things come to pass. You know, Jesus said something strange to Peter. He said, Peter said, hey, listen, you've been telling me, what's this brother going to do? He said, if he tarries till I come again, what's that to me? You know, everybody thought he said that John wasn't going to die. I tell you what he said. He said John was still going to be alive when he come again in some sense.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen.
In some sense. Now, he says this in another place. In Matthew 16, chapter, last few verses. He said, what does a man profit? He gains the whole world and sells himself. I want to tell you, friend Baptist, if we allow false doctrines to come in ranks, and we get everybody in our churches, and we sell our soul, what profit is there?
No.
It's what he was warning us again.
Yeah.
Then he goes on down and he says, listen, some of you standing here shall not taste of death you shall see the Son of Man coming. In glory, with the holy angels, something to that effect. So we have a time sequence. Jesus said somebody's not going to die till that coming comes to pass.
That's right.
Some people said, oh, that's when he went up on the mountain transfiguration. You believe that if you want to. But in that last service, he said, all these things shall come upon this generation.
Amen.
I want to tell you, that generation of Jews, the Jesus told them, he said, listen, the judgment's going to be poured out upon you like it's never been poured out upon the world before. It wasn't an accident. He said, you think, you know what they brag? They said, hey, look at us. We've been alive when our daddy was.
Yeah.
Listen, old Baptist, have any of y'all ever said this? We've been alive back yonder. We wouldn't have made the mistakes they made. We'd have fought them battles different. Them Jews said, listen, we've been alive. Days of the prophets. We wouldn't have killed them. Jesus said, fill you up the measures of your father.
Amen.
Fill up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When they crucified the Son of God, I'm going to tell you, it got pretty full. But they didn't quit there. They killed the apostles. Oh, they sent them the wise men that they sent to us. I want to tell you, the judgment of God was upon that nation.
Amen. Amen.
It was time for judgment. Now, Jesus said, if you're able to accept it, John the Baptist is Elijah that was to come. Now, if you don't know what that means, let me tell you. In Malachi, he said that Elijah must come before the great and dreadful death of the Lord comes. I wasn't talking about our church in the time. I want to tell you, there was a day of judgment came on that nation unlike anything the world has ever seen. The nation of Israel was trapped in 70 A.D. in the town. And they ate their own children, according to the historian Josephus. They ate their own children because they were starving to death in a city that had years of storehouses of food. They had water that come up in the city because their forefathers had figured out how to build that channel back up in there so they couldn't be trapped in that city without water. They burned their foods up. They literally burned it up. Now let me give you some timeline. Jesus said, hey, listen, when the gospel preached in all the world, now, do you think it would have been wise on Jesus' part to send somebody to accomplish this?
Yeah.
Let's go just before your sins back to heaven. He looks at those apostles. By the way, there's only 11. Only 11. He said, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Matthew's right and said, publish it unto every nation. Very same words in one place in those three. If you go read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in one place he said the gospel will be published in every nation. Very same language. Well, sound like Jesus got the matter pretty well under control. He told them when the end of the world's going to come, now he sent somebody to do it, to preach it. Men tell me we're still under that commission. Some men said, well, it's not really a commission. Well, it is and it's not. Do you know what the definition of apostle is? It means one commission. One commission. In other words, the apostles were sent with a mission. Unlike any other gospel minister. And they had power. Well, this says, Jesus told them this. He said, these powers shall follow them that believe. That sounds like somebody other than the apostles going to have that power. Didn't some of them deacons get that power? Wasn't there some other men healing the sick? Yes, there was. Why? I won't tell you. Any of you got cancer, don't come up here. I can't hear you. I don't have that. Don't know these other men. But I'm telling you, there was a day in that first century that some of those men, other than the apostles, had that power. Why? Because the Jews required a sign. I'm going to tell you, Jesus, God's plan is this simple. He said, if you'd have known the day of thy visitation, we reached over Jerusalem. He said that because you don't know the day of thy visitation, he said there's no hope for you. He looked on this city and wept because he said the armies were going to come and encamp against it. For 40 days, Moses is up on the mountain getting the law. For 40 days, Jesus is up on the mountain being tempted. For 40 days, 12 men from the 12 tribes of Israel spy out the promised land. For 40 days, Jesus instructs the apostles of the representation of 12. Although there was 11, there was 12 because Paul was one born out of Judea. He was instructed by Jesus. For 40 days, these men was instructed about the great kingdom of God. And for 40 years, the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And everyone over the age of 20 died. And I'm going to tell you, in 40 years, God came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and poured His wrath out upon that nation. I want to tell you, the time of judgment had come, and that which was there was going to be, they was going to be cut off, and we, which was contrary to nature, was drafted in their place.
Amen.
Now I want to tell you, we're not under that, whether you want to call it a commission or a commandment or whatever, for one simple reason. Are we under the law of Moses?
No.
If not, why not? Been fulfilled. If he sends 12 men out to preach and 11 men out to preach the gospel in all of the world, let's see if they get the job done. Have they not all heard? He goes back first in Romans. He says this. He says, I want to tell you something. He says, you can't hear without a preacher. He can't preach except they be sent. He goes on down and said, have they not all heard? Yes, verily, our sound went into the ends of the earth and into all the world. Hey, you can say what you want to. The gospel, whatever world's in consideration, they preached it. Now, let's go back and examine it. I want you to be sure you understand this. Men say they understand this better than I do. Well, I want to tell you something. They don't understand it better than them 11 men standing there. Now, don't you think those 11 apostles knows exactly where Jesus told them? I want to read you something. I want to go to Luke's writing. In Luke's writing is something I find real good for this. In Luke, the 45th verse, this is the last chapter. This is in two or three of the Gospels, at least three of them. Just before that, Jesus leaves when he told them, go ye in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. In Matthew's writing, he told them to publish it in all the nations. Listen to what Luke says about this. You remember Dr. Luke. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. Now, if God opened their understanding, this is the same one that asked Peter, said, who do men say I am? They said, oh, you John the Baptist and one of the prophets. He said, Peter, who? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which art in heaven. Brother Randy, where you quote, I want you to see the power of revelation. When God chooses to reveal something, it's not misunderstood. It's not misunderstood. The Bible says, Randy didn't say it, the Bible said, Luke said, then open he their understanding that they might not, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said, thus is written, thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in thy name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of all these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you to tear ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high. Now, Peter says something strange in Acts, the 15th chapter. I want you to see the mindset of the apostle. Was they sent to the Gentiles, or was they not? There wasn't an apostle present that understood for them to preach one word to one Gentile anywhere at any time. Not an apostle present understood that. And I can prove it by the Word of God. Listen to what he says in Acts, the 15th chapter. He says, beginning with the 6th verse, and the apostles and the elders came together to consult their mouth. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, if you don't know what Peter's talking about, he's talking about when he's on top of Cornelius' house and God sends him that sheet knitted on the three corners, send them down and says, arise, slay and eat. Peter thought it was a test. He said, not so, Lord. Nothing coming unclean ever is my mouth. You see, all of Jesus' ministry was under the law. The gospel dispensation began with John the Baptist, but Jesus' preaching was under the law. When Jesus healed somebody, what did he tell them to do? Go and perform the sacrifices required by the law of Moses. Why? He had to keep the law to a jot and to a tittle.
Amen.
It was going to take his death, burial, and resurrection to begin the end and the end the beginning. When Jesus was crucified, the end of the law was upon them. Was it finally ended to 70 A.D.? Now let me tell you why. God's a God of mercy. God sent the gospel to every one of them Jews so that they'd be without excuse. He sent them with special signs of healing of the sick. Jesus said this. He said, listen, you seek after signs. No other sign is going to be given you except that for him being in the well, barely 3 days and 3 nights. I'm telling you, part of that sign was erasing the physical healing, and that was possible because that was convincing evidence that Jesus Christ had raised from the dead. And the apostles had this power, and other men had this power, that those Jews were without excuse. And in 70 A.D., God brought the hammer down. Since that time, there's not been one wise man sent to them. There hasn't been one prophet sent to them. Matter of fact, after that time, I don't even think you can find where anybody else is healed. You see, the time a judgment was upon them. And they failed to believe that Jesus was the Messiah and the Christ because God blinded their eyes.
Amen. Amen.
Listen to John, the 12th chapter. It's the 11th chapter. Let's begin with the 44th verse. 12. Thank you. 39. He said, let's begin with the 39. He said, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake. Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they who, the nation of Israel, as a people, therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah the prophet had said again, he, God, hath blinded their eyes, and hardened up their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Yet we find that a remnant believed.
Amen. Amen.
A remnant went from law to grace. A remnant was converted in this time period. It was a time period. I will tell you, this preaching was with such urgency. They had such upon them. They had to preach this because the end of the world was upon their earth. Their world was coming to an end. What is what we have here this weekend was coming to an end.
Urgency.
When did we have to preach the gospel in all the world before it ended? That would be urgency. Now I want to tell you, if you believe that the church is still under this commission, I want to tell you, if you believe that, then let's quit playing church. And let's get the money together, because it's going to take a lot of money. And let's do what the missionaries have been doing all this time, trying to convert the world. I want to tell you, it's incumbent upon us to do that if we're under this commission. I'm telling you, we're not under it. It was given for a specific reason, for a specific period, and them apostles completed it. And precious children of God, you can say we're under it all you want to, but it's been fulfilled.
Amen.
Now, don't misunderstand. We're to go wherever God leads us. I hope that I came here this weekend because God led me here. And I hope that you leave this place with something special that you didn't have when you come. If it's no more than learning what's on the $5 bill. It's no more than that. But I hope that you leave here with some knowledge and understanding of why we took the position that we took. Why we so unwilling to give ground. I want to tell you, there's some things that we ought to all get together on, Brother Luke. I long for the day that I can hold this brother's hand, because my parents won't be on one side, him on the other. We need to resolve that matter. But I want to tell you, there's some things we can't compromise on.
Amen.
And the truths of God cannot be compromised. We can't yield them. Because if we sell our soul and gain the world, what profit is it? I'm telling you, there is none. We ought to be laboring for peace among our people, anywhere, any way as possible, reaching out anywhere our people, as long as they're willing to stand the ground that we've always stood upon. I'm not willing to yield that ground to the Calvinist. I'm not a missionary Prindy Baptist. I understood what the Prindy Baptist believed when I joined them. They told me, said, come over here to the progressive. They believe that practice is a little bit different. They believe the same thing. I found out that was a lie.
Yeah.
And I left. They tried to teach me in preachers' meeting to use notes. I said, brother, I don't believe in that. They tried to teach me we was under the Great Commission. I said, brother, I don't believe in that. They tried to teach me, well, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I said, brethren, I don't believe that. I'm going home to the old Baptist where I belong. And I apologize for being with them people. Don't ask me to accept what you required me to apologize for. I'm not going to yield that ground to you. I yielded once. And I was in the wrong. I was wrong. I saw a man stand before God's people. He said, Guy Smith was his name. He said, for 50 years, he's with the Progressive when they started. He said, for 50 years, I thought we were right 50 years ago when we started this mess. He said, I thought he would bring people to the church. He said, I'm telling you, we're wrong. He left. Ricky Harcrow left. Others left. There was a mass exodus. We'd reached a point we can no longer accept that which they believed. I never could accept that play. I'm going to tell you, they could never play the piano soft enough for me. Never could. I'm going to tell you, there was only one person in that building that was wrong. So I left. I was wrong. That's where I ought not be. That's what they won't believe. Hey, I taught them and preached the same thing to them as I preach to you. I've never altered my preaching wherever I've been. I preached this as long as I've been a Primitive Baptist. I didn't just start it. I won't tell you. I believe that it's by the grace of God. I believe that each and every one of you, one of God's children, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, at the tender age of 12, told his parents, he said, know ye not, thou should be up about my Father's business. I will tell you, he said it was our reasonable service to talk of these bodies a living sacrifice. If you haven't done that, I will tell you, you have shouting ground here. I saw a little girl over here keeping time a while ago. I don't know how old she was. She looked like she's 5, 6, 8 years old, keeping time with the singing. Wasn't no piano beating. Somebody's been working with her. Some parent has been bringing up in the nurse and admonition of the Lord and been falling and telling them, these young children, to do what Jesus says do. I want to tell you, that's all we need is what Jesus says. And we'll stand upon that ground. We're on the greatest country on the nation of the earth.
Amen.
Because we was founded on the principle, in God we trust. May God be with you.
Amen. Amen.